Let's get ready to study God's Word. Greetings to one and all. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and it's time for another devotional study. Please be sure to visit us at biblestudy.asbzone.com, where you can find links to our previous episodes and various Bible study resources. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into our study. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy and goodness to us. We ask you to help us as we dive into this topic today and give wisdom to us and to our listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's study is entitled, The State of the Dead. The State of the Dead. Our passage for this study is Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 14:27. There are a lot of ways to take a study on the state of the dead. And in fact, the state of the dead is not something that can be studied very quickly. You can get it at a surface level. There are a lot of things to say about it, and there are a lot of angles to come at it from. And we have done a couple of podcasts about death, sinners, and death. But this is going to be a little bit of a more general study. And the reason for it is pretty simple. Recently, when Robert and I were doing a True Wisdom podcast, the topic of the state of the dead came up, and one of the points I made was that it is a critical doctrine. It's a doctrine that, depending on how you believe, affects many other doctrines. And so it's important to come and discuss what the Bible actually says about the state of the dead. So let's see here. The angle that I'm going to take today is just to contrast death and life, because the Bible always makes those opposite. And what's important is understanding that the Bible teaches us that when we die, we are not alive, and we therefore do not have characteristics that live people do. For instance, no moving about, no talking, no thinking, no interacting. Okay? That's important. Today we're going to focus on death versus life, but I wanted to make that point, bring out that point. So we have verses like John 3:16, well-known verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see that life, eternal life in particular, is shown as a contrast to death or perishing. Okay, so again, in the same way that life is an ongoing, continued experience, death is also an ongoing, continued experience. It's just that the person who's experiencing it isn't feeling anything, right? So when someone has died, they are not in a state of consciousness. No part of them is in a state of consciousness. That's important to emphasize. When you're dead, that's it. Now, the Bible does call some death sleep. really, there are only two deaths. There's the death before the Revelation 20 time frame. Okay? So if we die now, it is but a sleep because we'll be awakened from it. Okay? It's not a sleep in the same way that you can hear things when you're asleep, right? Or that you're breathing or any of that kind of stuff. It's called a sleep primarily because it's not permanent. Right? That's why God calls it a sleep. But while you're dead, while you're in the sleep of death, you are not engaging in any activity. You're not thinking about anything. You're not acting on anything. Not doing things. You're not showing up places. You're not speaking. Okay? Any place in the Bible where you see people who are supposed to be dead talking, one of two things is occurring. They aren't in fact dead, or their death is a figurative scenario, not a literal one. Okay? If someone is dead, they're not paying attention to anything. Jesus died, was crucified and died, and rose again on the third day. While he was dead, he didn't do anything, didn't accomplish anything, didn't go anywhere, didn't think about things, didn't whatever. He was dead. And yes, people are going to point out that there was divinity and divinity can't die. Fine. That's a valid point. But the man Christ Jesus, as described in Scripture, suffered death. And in fact, he suffered the second death because he died the punishment that we don't want to get. He suffered the second death. While he was dead, whatever his divinity was doing, right? Because now we're into the mystery of godliness. But the man Christ Jesus was dead. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't think about anything. It wasn't until he was resurrected on resurrection morning that he re-engages life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Right? Very opposite scenarios, describing very opposite states of being. The dead know not anything. Wise man points that out. The dead know not anything. The memory of them is forgotten. Right? We need to understand that because the reason that people think that the dead can do anything at all is due to what Satan said in the garden. When Eve said to him, "Hey, we've been told not to eat of this tree here that's in the midst of the garden," Satan said, "Ye shall not surely die. Don't worry about all that death talk. God knows that when you eat of this thing, you'll live forever. You'll be like God." So just remember, it's God's words that said that if they touched it, they would die, and that dying was a thing. And it was the serpent's words, the dragon, that old serpent, the devil and Satan, who said, "Nah, you won't really die." And it's a shame that after all this time, it's the word of Satan that people remember more. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil." Pay attention to how that gets summarized. Okay. Jeremiah 21:8. "And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." Those two things are opposite. And so the activities capable of persons in the live state are not capable of persons in the dead state. Romans 5:17 says, "And if by one man's offense," that being Adam, "death reigned by one, so much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Okay. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Okay. Listen to Paul in 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Revelation 20 and verse 14, very, very powerful passage. And death and hell, the word translated here as hell is the grave, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Right? The second death is the complete destruction of everything that comes into it. Death and hell will be destroyed in the lake of fire. Death is the opposite of life. In death, nothing is known, understood, or experienced, or else it's life. Right? There are two things that we don't believe about hellfire. There are two things the Bible teaches us that are not true about hellfire. Hellfire is not a place of eternal torment. Bible's very clear about that, because the lake of fire is going to destroy death and hell. Okay, that's one point. The other point, we do not believe that the Bible teaches that hell is already ongoing. It is not. Hell is confined to the Revelation chapter 20 period. You should study that. Read the whole chapter, and you'll see that hell comes into existence at a specific point, and it lasts until it burns everything up. Ecclesiastes 9:5, which I alluded to before, for the living know that they shall die. Right? Living know that they'll be in a different state, death. But the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. And Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Okay? Isaiah talks about this theme a little bit more. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit, that's a euphemism for the grave, cannot hope for thy truth. Okay? The Bible is very, very, very consistent that life and death are vastly opposite, that Christ came to give life, and that death is the absence of life. And since life is what animates, what motivates, death being the complete opposite of life, can't do any of those things. Doesn't appeal to you, does nothing. If someone is dead, there's nothing that they can do or are doing. Everything about their doing is in the past until the second coming. Okay? Till the second coming, or the millennium, end of the millennium, to be fair. Because the righteous dead will come to life at the second coming. But the wicked dead are going to remain dead at the second coming. And therefore, they're not going to be reanimated until the end of the millennium. Okay? We're going to do a series of additional studies on death versus life. But the idea is to remember that the way you view the state of the dead, whether or not you think people are alive even after they pass in a human form, if you believe that, you're going to look for certain signs. You're going to look for certain information. You're going to interpret certain passages and prophecies a certain way. But if you understand that those who are dead are just sleeping until Christ comes to wake them up, then you're going to view a lot of passages in a different light. Okay? This is not a trivial, this is not a trivial doctrine. It's a very key doctrine. The resurrection, the second coming, all of these things either make sense or don't really, based on your understanding of the state of the dead. Our passage for this study is Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you that you give us an opportunity to study your word and come to the conclusions about your word and understand what it is that you are presenting to us. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. Help us that we will rightly divide your words of truth, that as we study our Bibles, we will understand the state of the dead, and that we will be ready for your soon return. Please help us to reach out to others that they will be able to learn. Please bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. You can reach us via email at biblequestions@asbzone.com. We look forward to hearing from you, whether you have questions, comments, suggestions, or concerns. We also recommend that you check out the True Wisdom podcast, where Robert and I discuss Bible stories and topics together. Both of these podcasts can be found on over a dozen platforms, including Google, Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. Please remember our ministries in your prayers. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you prayerfully study and share His holy word.